Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. We're inspiring conversations for the unafraid. I'm Janice McDonald, founder of the Beacon Agency, author, and global champion for women. Why am I making this show? Because I want to share the inspiring stories of women leaders in business, arts and culture, politics, and more with all of you. Hear how they've chosen to go forward and be bold and make the world a better place, even when it wasn't easy to do. Subscribe now wherever you find podcasts. Hey, everybody, I'm Janice McDonald. Welcome to season 2 of the Fearless Women Podcast. Guess what? If you haven't heard my new book, Fearless, Girls with Dreams, Women with Vision, became a bestseller in Canada the first week it came out. It's a collection of inspiring true stories from 80 different women who have each have powerful lessons to share about being a girl who once dreamed of what she might become. This book celebrates women taking risks, facing down fears, and blazing a trail. Essentially, the kind of inspiration we need right now. Thank you for your support in making the book a national bestseller. Wait, what? You still don't have a copy? Hey, during these unprecedented times, stay home and shop online. And if you have to go out, grab one at Costco. They're available right across Canada at Costco. And of course, please tell your friends. So, I am so delighted to welcome Shannon Peston to the show. For 9 years, she has been with ATB, and the last 3 as Director of Women's Entrepreneurship, an interest we both share. She is going to tell us about that and so much more. So this episode will be packed with practical insights to help you through these challenging times. Welcome, Shannon.
Hi, Janice. Thank you so much for having me on. And first of all, congratulations on becoming a best-selling author with Fearless. Some great stories in there and some of the women I know personally. So it's been a delight to read and follow along. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for your support. And of course, thank you for being on the show. I'm super excited to talk to you about so many different things. You've got lots to share. I also want to thank and welcome our listeners from around the world, including UK, USA, New Zealand, Spain, Australia, so many more countries. We want our community to grow. So again, tell your friends, follow us on Instagram. And thanks to our amazing sponsors, EDC, Lockheed Martin, and BDC. So Shannon, you are an advocate for women. You work to advance the success of female entrepreneurs in Alberta and help them overcome the barriers that stand in the way of starting or growing their business. Very relevant during these times. Tell us about your current role at ATB as Director of Women's Entrepreneurship, why you love it, and why it matters.
Well, thank you, Janice. You know, I fell into this role accidentally, and I often say that I was sort of the accidental banker because my career has actually always been in marketing. Mm-hmm. And when I came to ATB, there just was something that was pulling me into the finance side of the business. And usually marketing doesn't go to finance, but I did that. And, you know, I believe that everything happens for a reason, because it was in this role that I started to see some of the gaps that existed between men and women as entrepreneurs. And I guess the question that changed it all for me was one day looking around and thinking, where are all the women? Because I could count in my portfolio the number of women clients that I had. Mm-hmm. And so I started to dive deeper into it. And I think once you see something, you can't unsee it. And for me, I just dug right in and I really started to research heavily. And to be honest with you, you know, years ago, Janice, I came across some of your research that was pivotal in my understanding of the environment and what we could do to take immediate actionable change. So I knew I could really take my experience and ask, what is the financial industry's role in breaking down some of the barriers that women face in entrepreneurship? And so, you know, I think that it's something that is really important today. And I think when we look at the numbers, we have a lot of room to improve here in Canada. And of all small, medium-sized businesses, women majority-led companies only represent 16% of all small, medium-sized businesses in Canada. So, I mean, there's your first indicator as to the importance of this. And not just because it's the right thing to do, but economically, it's what makes sense. We could unlock $150 billion potentially in the next 5 years in incremental GDP. So, you know, there's the economic side and of course the benefit of helping more women start and grow their businesses.
Absolutely. So this is a unique time to be responsible for women's entrepreneurship, and particularly in Alberta. Talk about what's happening and give us kind of a sense of how things look there right now, recognizing obviously the situation is changing.
You're right. The situation is changing quickly. And I think that Alberta is, in many ways, we're facing more than just the pandemic crisis of COVID. You know, we're also dealing with a deep recession here that we've been in for a couple of years. And much of that is, of course, tied to our oil and gas industry. So I think, you know, Alberta women, we are resilient, but we're still falling into some of the areas where COVID will certainly show where this is gendered. I mean, we take a look at where some of the industries are that women are operating in, and it's, you take a look at some of the services and some of those, some of the first hit were women entrepreneurs in the businesses that closed down as a result of COVID. So I don't think that the challenges are necessarily more unique in terms of what business owners are facing as a whole. I think Alberta's just been more deeply impacted economically over the past few years, and we're sort of in that perfect storm right now of everything that is
coming. Double whammies, really. Yeah. It's definitely a very challenging time. Absolutely. What are you doing personally to figure out how to survive during these unprecedented times? Like on that personal lens, like what's Shannon doing every day? You know, are you somebody that's saying I have to have routine, you know, like, or are you, you know, like, everybody's going about it a different way. What's working for you?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, I came across a graph on LinkedIn earlier, or I guess late last week, and it was a graph that asked one question. It was, who do I choose to be during the COVID-19 pandemic? Mm. And I think that was a turning point for me on that, because there's so much power in that question, because it gives us sort of that control to say, how am I going to show up in this time? And it takes you sort of through this fear zone to this learning zone to a growth zone. And I think what my survival tips are right now is really focusing on what I can control. Okay. Focusing on where my strengths are right now. And my strengths, for example, would be in collaboration and coming together to find some commonality to help drive forward some of the solutions that are tabled right now within within government and even within our own financial system. And I'm also really trying to be fully present in the moment. And again, back to this graph, and I wish I knew who to give credit for, the original graph. But one of the sayings in this graph is, I'm not in a waiting room. Like, this is life. And so as I try to build my own personal resiliency, I'm really thinking about where I can contribute, where I can add value, and really looking at life as a go forward, not what are we coming, you know, how do we get back to where we were? If that question is no longer relevant, it's how are we going to show up in the future, and how are we going to rebuild to a new desired future state? But I would also say, you know, there's so much to be said about just trying to keep a healthy lifestyle too, and being really, you know, getting a good night's sleep and eating well and taking time to exercise and staying deeply connected. I mean, one of my personal values is connection. So as someone who is always, you know, like to be able to visit with friends and family and colleagues, this is struggle, you know, I struggle here. So I think that looking at these online communities and thinking about where we can build meaningful connection is also part of my tool set.
I love that. And I saw somewhere on social media this idea of figuring out, and I know we kind of have it in our head, but maybe looking at that list of people that we want to continue to check on with some kind of regularity, you know, that like, hey, how are you doing? You know, this is a difficult time, and we don't know everybody's individual situation, and people, you know, are in different situations. And so knowing that somebody is actually taking time to check in and just have that, you know, that kind reach out, I think can be really helpful too, because these are unique times. But I also agree so fundamentally with you that the old ways are gone, right? This is a new world reality, and we're going to see a lot of change as a result of the world having gone through this pandemic.
Well, you're so right. But I also think that this is where we're seeing some new leaders, you know, emerging in this time too. So it's interesting to see how different people are coming out of this and using this time. But, you know, on the flip side of this, we're also seeing great innovation. We're seeing women pivot and businesses that will rise from this. And so to your point, it's not going back to what it was, but saying, where is our business going to be in the future? You know, and having said that, I mean, this is, you know, I don't take lightly the challenges that women are facing. And I think my first week was spent a lot. I posted on my social media feeds that if you need to reach out and talk about your business or just about what you're going through, like, just reach out to me. I wanted to be a voice for people. And I've always been there as a voice for women entrepreneurs. So it was really important for me to give back in that way. And in that first week, you know, I really felt like a grief counselor. There was this profound sense of loss for ideas, for businesses. And when you're a business owner, business is personal, especially as a small business.
Sure is.
You know, I grew up in a family that we owned our own small business. And, you know, so I know the importance that small business plays for the entrepreneurs and their families. And so I don't take this lightly, and I am deeply connected to the fear, the struggle, but also to the hope. And I choose to keep focused on helping us to move forward and look at things in new ways.
Yeah, that's such a positive message, and I thank you for that, Shannon. One of the companies that I work with outside of Canada was talking about recognizing that it is a unique time, and how they were thinking about it was, hey, the whole landscape looks different. So why don't we do things differently? Which means we have some time to do some other things differently, maybe slow down and do them even better. And I thought, well, that isn't that incredible, like to find that little glimmer of hope in it. Now their whole business was not entirely threatened. So that's a different mindset. I want to be clear. It's not somebody whose business, the doors are closed. That's, you know, very different. And so I want to make sure that I make that distinction, but nevertheless, I mean, these are challenging times. There's no guarantees in terms of their business, but they were still able to have the lights on and move forward. But they were thinking about it in that strategic way. What does this mean? And how could we find some positive in it? And again, that's a very different story from if you're a restaurant or you're a retailer and you have to close the shop. These are different situations, of course. So I know you talked about your different strategies. What about binge watching? Is that something that you're doing at home to get through these days? And if so, do you have any recommendations?
Oh gosh. I think like other people, I got sucked into watching that Tiger show. I don't even know what it's called. So I was binge watching that one there for a while, but Tiger King. Thank you. Yeah. I don't know that, that's time well spent, but it was a good escape there for a while. But I'm also a huge Ozark fan. And so I'm rewatching, the episodes to get into the next season. So that's, I guess my interests on Netflix are a little buried there.
Yeah, no, well, everybody's open to new ideas. I started to watch Morning Show with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon, and it's I find it very interesting. Martin Short's also in it. It's and Steve Carell. So I'm only two episodes in, but it's been interesting. So there's a suggestion for people if you're looking for something new.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's grab it and go with it. Tell me this: you are an avid horse jumper. And you said soaring over hurdles is one of your passions. You're definitely in the right role right now. But how did you start this? When did the love of not only the sport, but horses develop in you? And then what have you learned from being in this sport?
Oh, that is such a great question. And I'll just clarify that by avid, I didn't say I'm a good one. I have eaten my share of dirt in the last little while. But, you know, it was something I grew up, my mom's side of the family are farmers, and I grew up spending summers at the farm. And that was always a big part of who I am. And I loved being part of that world. And I got into horse jumping as a young girl, and it was just something that was, I learned so much from it about communication and about trust and about decision making. And it was a place that I just always knew was my place to go to. And of course, as you get older, life takes, you know, a different path, and through university and work, I didn't have time for it, but it was something that I gave back to myself when I turned 40 and decided that I was going to, I asked myself like what really inspired me when I was younger. And I wanted to give myself back something that was just for me. And so I got back into it. And right now with social distancing, we're not riding as we would normally, but it's still a place that I go to clear my mind, to ground myself, I think, sometimes. And I do a lot of my deep thinking while I'm at the barn and I'm with my horse.
That's beautiful. Take me back to your 10-year-old self. What was that girl like? So we know what you were into, but where were you living? What else did you care about aside from horses?
Well, not much, actually. I mean, my first job was working as a stall hand, and I worked at this barn. It was called Fish Creek Stables in Calgary, and we lived really close to the barn. And so my summers and weekends were spent getting trail rides, horses ready, and I did that for free for years, just so that I could ride at the end of the day with the final trail ride of the day. But, you know, I actually had to ask my parents this question, you know, not too long ago as I was working on something. And the word that they came to, that we sort of settled on, was I was rebellious. And, you know, with good intentions, I mean, I'll sort of put it that way. My role model at that time was Anne of Green Gables. And if anyone is familiar with Anne Shirley, you'll know that she was a little bit mischievous. She was a bit of a dreamer. She was had such a high active imagination, and I was a lot like that growing up, but I just always questioned the natural order of things, and I drove my parents crazy, crazy, because I couldn't ever stop asking why. You know, if there was a deeper level to the why, I just kept going at it, and it was exhausting, but the answer just never seemed to be good enough that I was getting. So, you know, I was always sort of walking this line between trying to be really good, but also at the same time being challenging.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I know why we like each other, because why is my favorite word.
Oh, that word why. Yeah. How
it can why, be so- why?
Powerful.
Why?
Yeah.
So tell me about a time then that you were fearless.
I think being fearless has always just sort of been a part of my life. And I can think about it as being, you know, just from being young and challenging things and not ever really being sure what the final answer would be. I just dove in and always kind of made it through to the other side. But I think I take that fearless, to be honest with you, with the role that I'm doing now, Janice. And
yeah.
I think in a lot of ways, you know, you're challenging social assumptions, you're challenging systemic barriers, you're challenging industries and a financial system that is a couple hundred years old here in Canada. And so I think sometimes that, you know, it is this unknown, and I don't have all the answers either, which is the other thing, but I continue to go down a path that can feel quite polarizing at times.
Yeah. It's, well, there's lots of work to do to keep pushing forward, you know, as you work to advance the success of female entrepreneurs. So it absolutely requires fearlessness. Who do you turn to for advice, Shannon?
I am so lucky because I have an amazing personal board of directors, if you will, that, you know, my childhood friends are the same friends that I've had actually since kindergarten. And so I'm really lucky to have this history of people that have seen me evolve over the years and who have always been my biggest champions. Of course, I spoke about my mom and dad earlier, and I'm so incredibly fortunate to have a great relationship with them, as they've always challenged me to challenge myself and not to be scared of who I am as a person and what I bring. I also have work friends that I see as really important people in my world, because they're able to help me understand sort of the organizational perspective sometimes that I can lose sight of. They ground me in a work environment. I think I've always just been surrounded and been lucky enough to have mentors and role models from all different parts, sometimes my former clients are, I would go to for, you know, actually when I started looking at women's entrepreneurship, it was my former clients that I said, like, help me here, understand what what this can look like. So I think, you know, to answer the question in a really long-winded way, it's just the people that I've met over my life. And I look for how people can help me and how I can help them.
I love that. It's unique, though, to have the same set of friends from, you know, your earliest days. Is that in part because everybody kind of stayed in the community, or was it also with serious intention? Like, how did that happen to be?
You know, we ask ourselves this question all the time, to be honest with you, and none of us went down a same path. One of our friends is a teacher, the other one is a doctor, and I'm in business. So, I mean, our interest today, we say, like, if we met today, would we be who we are?
Yeah.
We'd be friends, because there's really nothing. We don't have the same circles outside of each other. But I think there's just a deep, deep love between the three of us that is, we're more like family than friends. And to be honest with you, I don't have memories that predate these relationships.
That's incredible. What's something you wish you knew earlier?
Oh boy. I would have to say the importance of knowing my own values and the role that they would play throughout my life. It was Brené Brown that really helped me get clear on why this is so important when I read the book Dare to Lead. And I guess you take for granted the things that you think are important to you. But when I got really intentional about what drives me, what are the truisms in my world that I can't ignore? Like, what are the things that make those moments where they're the hill you're willing to die for? And it was really my values. And as I look back, I realized that throughout my entire life, I've always been guided by them. So I guess what I wish I would have known earlier is to really be aware of those through my life and listen to those, because those really don't change.
And what are those for you? What are some of the things that you say, these are the things I'm willing to die on that hill for?
Well, it's interesting because justice came really to the forefront for me. And I think when you take a look at justice, you can interpret that in many ways. But I think, you know, trying to do the right thing and trying to find what is fair and equitable is a big part of who I am. Mm-hmm. But also connection is another value set of mine that is just part. It's just in my blood. So those are the two that I would say are my. Everything else kind of branches off of those, but those would be the two that would, I would say, define my value set the most predominantly.
Yeah. Well, those are two beautiful values to guide your life with. So, and I can see how they're so interconnected, but other things, important things are attached to those as well. So you didn't say it, but clearly a value of yours is also to give back to your community. You're an active volunteer. You're a director with Mount Royal University. How do you decide where to spend your time and talents, and why are you in that role? Why is that important to you?
Well, education is so important to me, and I was a student at Mount Royal. I worked at Mount Royal, and now being on the as a member of the Board of Governors, it is my way of really giving back to where a lot of things started for me. And I also see in the work that I do, there's a huge relationship between, you know, government, between industry, between education and civil society. So it's a piece of a bigger puzzle for me to give, to understand that landscape and to also contribute to the future of education. But I think, you know, it's a great question as to where do I decide to put my time. That's something that I have, you know, I think that I've really had to be more intentional about. I used to put my hand up and say yes to absolutely everything because I didn't know what to say no to. Mm-hmm. But I've really just focused on if it's around advancing women's entrepreneurship, that is my number one checkpoint. And so that's really what I've used as my guide on that.
Yeah. And I think some of that can change too. Tell me if this is true for you, Shannon, you know, as you mature in your career. So earlier saying yes, at least for me, was so important because it opened up all kinds of interesting and unique experiences. Mm-hmm. But over time, you realize, I don't have all the time that I would like to give to everybody who wants some of my time. And so it kind of forces some rigor in terms of deciding where to share your time and talents.
Yeah. And I think even when you're giving back, like I think it's okay to be selfish, to say like, what's in this for me too? Like, am I going to grow from this? And how will I grow from this? And are my contributions being used to their full potential as well? Like, I think it's one thing to give back, but anytime we give, we get back. And so I think it's balancing both sides of that equation.
Mm-hmm. And I found for myself, if I reach a point where I no longer feel that it's like a heck yes, then I need to move on, because for somebody else it will be, and I need to make room for them to be able to give their contributions with that level of passion.
Yeah, 100%. I love that, and you're so right.
Yeah. So, favorite app? I know you said tech is not, you're tech savvy, but you're not necessarily thinking about tech all the time. But do you have a favorite app that you'd like to recommend, something that's helping you these days?
Well, one that I do use frequently is called Pocket. And Pocket is a way of storing sort of articles or videos that you come across that are relevant and that you want to be, you can't maybe read in the moment, but you want to read later. And I was always one who would find something online. I would email it to myself, and then I'd have to go and search all my emails for that one article. And so this has been a time saver for me, but it's also really helped me to spend time reading the things that are most relevant to me, you know, at a time that is convenient for me, when I can really have that mental capacity to actually dive into it.
Yeah, that's such a practical app. Absolutely.
Do you use that one?
I was using it for a while and now I'm not using it, but you know, you reminded me, I'm like, I need to go back and use that. like things, you know, all in, and then maybe, and then move away from it. But you're absolutely right. So great, because I'm always discovering interesting things. I, as you know, like you, Why is my favorite. So I'm like, oh, I got to read that. But yeah, that's a great way. Thank you for the great tip as a reminder.
Well, so, maybe you can give me one back, because that's the only one that I really use. So if you've got one, you can feel free to share here too. I'll let you think about that one.
I'll think about that one. In the meantime, what would you like to say to female entrepreneurs, not only in Alberta, but in Canada right now? I mean, your whole focus is helping them overcome barriers that stand in their way of whether it's starting or growing their business. These are challenging times. What's Shannon's message right now for women entrepreneurs listening?
Well, my advice to women entrepreneurs would be, now is the time to really collaborate with one another. And I think one of the things that COVID has taught us is the importance of pivoting, the importance of being able to find like-minded entrepreneurs who can teach you during this time. I see so many people who are teaching each other new skills or how they're doing things. So I think now's the time to be really intentional about surrounding yourself with people who can help elevate you. I think it's also the time to look at where you could really focus on the business, because right now a lot of people aren't having to be so focused in the business. So that time to be very strategic right now. I would also say that stay focused and stay focused on the positive. You know, there will be a time that we come out of this. One thing that I know for certain is, when I take a look at the entrepreneurial ecosystem that is supporting women's entrepreneurship, I am blown away by the collaboration and the conversations that are happening to drive policy to ensure that female entrepreneurs are not left behind in this time. So we're doing that work at the same time that we're asking women entrepreneurs just to keep going.
I love that. Keep going. And along those lines, if you could put on your banker's hat, what advice would you give to women entrepreneurs, you know, broadly from a banker's point of view?
At this time, you know, my advice for women entrepreneurs is really focus in on that business plan. And like any business, understand who your market is. Your target audience might be changing a little bit. Their needs might be changing. So asking yourself, how might you still be relevant to your business audience? And really trying to understand what that future trend is going to look like. I mean, certainly the world is going to be changing. I think looking for ways that you can pivot, again, is really important. I mean, we're seeing people change their strategies right now or changing, trying to get onto e-commerce platforms if they didn't have that before. Maybe this is an opportunity to expand a product line. You know, I think at the end of the day, it's what do you still bring? Like really knowing what your value is as a business and how that value will translate to a buyer in the future. At the same time, I am going to say that really this is a great opportunity to understand and work on understanding the financials of a business and setting yourself up for the future and really, really knowing what the cash flows look like. I think that's a huge area right now where people are getting caught off guard.
Yeah, figuring out your runway. How long can I go? Especially since we don't know what really is going on. And I loved your focus, and I hear the marketer in you as well, at the same time really bringing in that marketing lens as people are thinking about their business. You know, it offers opportunity. I love that you've highlighted that. Think about, you know, where could I pivot if I needed to, and what is that value that I'm bringing? These are really positive things to think about as you think about your business and the future, because while it's changing times, everything's changing anyways. And so in many senses, that also offers some new opportunities.
Yeah, I think there's lots of opportunities ahead. And it's just, as I said, we will come through this. And I think that we will come through this stronger. But I think our future world is going to change. And it's all of us trying to figure out what that looks like and where we fit into that new picture.
Yeah. So the final question, Shannon, and this is the biggie, is what is your dream for Canada?
What is my dream for Canada? I'm going to stay focused right now in this question because my answer is going to be relating to what I do on a daily basis. But my future for Canada is where we're able to, all of us, to bring our unique experiences, our different perspectives, and our sense of purpose to really harness this collective potential. I think if COVID is teaching us anything, it's the power that we have together. And we see that borders are just borders right now. And so I just want to be able to see us all have an equal opportunity to make a meaningful impact, not just here in Canada, but around the world, and making Canada, to continue to make Canada one of the greatest places to live.
Oh, such a beautiful dream for Canada. Partnership, collaboration, resiliency. Shannon Peston, it has been such a pleasure having you today on the Fearless Women podcast. You heard her passion. She's the director of women's entrepreneurship at ATB and an important voice in Canada. Thank you so much, Shannon.
Janice, thank you so much for having me. And I just wish you continued health and happiness yourself. So thank you.
Thanks for listening. We want our community to grow. Tell your friends, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for our newsletter at fearlesswomenpodcast.com to get the early scoop. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors, BDC, Lockheed Martin, and Export Development Canada. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts or in your favorite app. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star rating. I'm Janice McDonald. Stay fearless. Thank you to Export Development Canada, the international risk experts, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. Supporting Canadian companies of all sizes succeed on the world stage, EDC takes your worries away and helps you grow your business with confidence. When your business has no borders, neither does your potential. Find out more at edc.ca/womenintrade. Thank you to BDC, the bank devoted exclusively to entrepreneurs, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. We love smart companies that want to amplify women's voices. For more information, go to bdc.ca/women.